Good evening.
Good evening.
Fred, it looks like you're the only one.
Well, it's just 6:31. Let's give them a minute.
We'll give them a few minutes.
Okay, that'd be good.
Did you have a good day?
Yes and no. My leg, I'm having trouble walking on my left leg. It's not wanting to do much supporting, and it hurts when I get up. That's the one I broke a couple of years ago. But other than that, I have food in my kitchen and a roof over my head and air conditioning going and a cat in my lap. And that's the happy part.
But do you have a cane or a crutch to walk with? Hello, Martha.
I have a brace that I had when I broke my leg, and I put it on, and it seems to help want to support it. So I just kind of hobble around. But it'll get better. It'll get better. Thank you for asking.
I believe a third person has come on as well, but I didn't hear who it was.
Gabriella.
How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Welcome. So we will begin. We are studying from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. From Parasha Vayera, section 14, we'll begin with Pasuk 204, and I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kutshabarechu ishkike bifilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. Le'achda Lashem yudhe bevavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenei aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenehu. Ashkechan d'riyayo latav l'ashkechen re'iyaya levish re'iyaya latav v'yiktiv v'yar Elokim Et b'nei Yisrael, v'yeda re'iyaya, levish, dikti varda, na'ar era, ere, v'yashkaha alayhu, v'dina v'alda, amar kutshabrichu. Am kase ani me Avraham. The translation. We have learned that there is seeing for good and seeing for evil. The seeing for the good is illustrated in the verse, and Elohim looked upon the children of Israel. Seeing for evil is illustrated in the verse, I will go down now and see, in order to choose their punishments. This is what the Holy One, blessed be He, meant by asking, shall I hide from Abraham? My commentary is that the verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. As an unwritten commentary, I will want to reinforce the idea that there is no such thing as reward and punishment. There's only cause and effect. So Hashem was going down to see the effect, not the punishment. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Um,
I have a question, I guess. Maybe I should have asked this from the beginning. The cause and effect. Usually we pray for mercy because the cry of negativity is so great. So with Sodom and Gomorrah, who was crying out to ask for Hashem to come down to see the destructive behavior of Sodom and Gomorrah? Who was it? Abraham? Was it Lot? Was it, who was it? Was it Lot's daughter? Was it, you know, who was praying out for judgment to be rendered due to cause and effect?
Are you reading the question is excellent. It was asked in an earlier verse, and I'm trying to find it to make sure. That's what I was asking. If were you reading from a book that you could follow, or do I need to? Okay.
I'm not online or anything. Right.
Yeah, I understand.
Do you think maybe that the angel that Hashem had sent was calling Hashem to see?
No, it'll be very clear when I find what I'm looking for. Give me another minute.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, the question was, you found it? Okay.
Yeah. In verse 203, and we discussed it at length yesterday, and it was really a good discussion. I recommend you listen to the recording.
Okay.
But the verse reads, and this is just a partial part of it. He asks, but did not the Holy One, blessed be He, know that He had to go down? Is not everything revealed for Him? And He responds, but I will go down means to descend from the grade of mercy to the grade of judgment. And the phrase, and see, means to determine suitable effects. I'm substituting effects for punishments again. So our way of understanding the phrase that Hashem is saying to Abraham, or he's saying to himself, or he's saying to the angels, I will go down to see what I will do. He already knows what he's going to do. He knows everything. There's no time, space, there's no motion. Everything is in front of him. So your question is, why was he going down? He was going down from his normal state of being in loving kindness, being at the level of chesed, which is the essence of wisdom. He is going down from that to Givurah, which is judgment. And when you go into judgment, we're evaluating. Hashem is evaluating one of an infinite number of possibilities. Just as you have a movie for you, and that movie can change to better for better or just continue to play out depending on whether you utilize binding by striking. The whole world, all of humanity, has different possibilities of the path that will be followed, because that's the result of free will. if one person chooses to kill another, and the person that he chose to kill was supposed to father a child, that child still needs to be fathered. How does that happen? Because there are different possibilities of our future. And just as there were different possibilities of our past. And the job of Hashem is to take all of the possibilities of your worlds, your universes, your movies, and all of the possibilities of my movies, my worlds, my universes, and reconcile them so that they fit to what is called natural law. So that it's never obvious to either one of us that Hashem is involved. Because he's got these natural laws that he established. And so he has to make sure that all of our actions create the results, the effects that follow natural law. What's natural law? If I throw a baseball directly at a window with enough force, I'm going to break the window. And every little boy learns to fear that. When they hit a baseball. The point is, the truth is, that before the ball gets to the glass is already breaking. That's proven in video, because they've done it many times. They took movies of the ball going through the air, and frame by frame in the movie, it shows that the glass starts to break before the ball gets to the glass. Now, what is natural law, and what is the actual way the world works? Natural laws are an illusion that's created to assist Hashem in reconciling these different worlds that people create with their desires. So it's not Hashem came down to the physical world to see what happened in Sodom, but Hashem came down from Chesed to Giborah. And within Giborah, as a Sephirah, he's given a wide range of movies, a wide range of choice of effects. Which one is best for all of the consciousnesses that's involved, that are living in the world at that moment? And how does he reconcile all of that with what he set up as natural laws? So, answering your question, Malka, and also Brandy's comment. Who was Hashem talking to? He said, I will come down. He was talking to the Sephiroth. He was saying, I'm going to move from my throne of loving kindness to my throne of judgment. So, for me. Prepare the seat. What are my options? Hana, did you want to add anything from our conversation yesterday?
No, but, well, in a way, yes. You brought out the idea that thinking from right to left wasn't the correct way of thinking of it, from moving from one side of the road to the other. That's about the only difference. It's just that right at first, what I was going to comment was, it was back on verse 189 where it talks about the cry, and that was where we mentioned Lot's daughter. And the question had already been asked, you know, so I thought, well, maybe they need to know which verse we were on and check that recording, you know.
So basically,
and what happened to Lot's daughter. And I think the day that
So basically, it's not how we receive it in a physical world. There wasn't a cry from an individual or a community or a minion. Basically, what I see and what I'm hearing, and I may be totally wrong, is that there was such a blemish in that world, and that Sephirah, that caused Hashem to come down to hear the outcry, or to look at the outcry, or to, you know, make a determination, however we want to say that. So basically, it was a big blemish in that world, per se, and that they have actually, you know, was up to the, let's say, just 50th gate, where the negativity was so strong that it caused a great cry out in the Sephirah. And I guess I was looking at it literally, who was crying out? Because if Sodom and Gomorrah, anybody there was crying out and to come destroy their cities, I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me that they want to destroy their own city. But if the cry, because of the effects that came, the cause and effects that came against the individuals in that city, was a cry out to Hashem.
There's also the spiritual. Yes. And this is what Hannah was saying, and she mentioned the verse number 189. We had talked about it a few days, probably a week ago, and I don't think you were on the class, but there's a midrash that explains that Lot had three daughters. The third daughter had given a piece of bread to one of the strangers that had come into Sodom. She had taken mercy on him. And so she was brought up on charges in court, and she was found guilty of giving a stranger some bread. And her punishment was to be dipped, drenched in honey, and attracted bees so that they stung her to death. And that was the cry that went up to Hashem that caused him to come down. Now, in that midrash, the coming down was literally to come down to the physical world. But again, we can't accept that. We could as little children, because we don't ask the question, who is the cry? And as you said, you've always wanted to ask this question, who is the cry? Well, the Zohar is saying that the cry is really Hashem crying to see how a human being can do such horrible things to another human being.
Right.
And that gives Hashem pain. And his pain makes our pain look like a scratch. We feel deeply, but Hashem feels so much more deeply. So who is the who cried out? Which frame do you want to discuss? The Midrash, where it's this young girl who took pity on somebody starving and then received this horrible punishment? It's people who have made so many mistakes and have created such an abyss of negativity. In modern terms, it's a black hole of negativity. I haven't said this to you before, but according to the modern Kabbalists, all these black holes that you hear about from the astronomers are created by human activity. Our selfishness, our desire to receive for oneself alone, creates these black holes. So who cried out? The people who created the black hole, recognizing their mistake as they're being destroyed by the brimstone and fire? Were they the ones who cried out? Because there's no past, there's no future in Hashem's worlds, in his perception. They're all one. They're all now. Now, we can't understand how the past and the future can be in the now. But your future is known, so therefore it's in the now. And your past is known, and it, therefore it has created the present. But the present doesn't stay because it becomes the future immediately. And that future is now my present.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to make you crazy. I'm trying to give you a perspective on how the Kabbalists think. And that's not to imply that I'm a Kabbalist. I've just been taught this way of thinking.
Well, I can understand that because at Sunset, that is your past and present, because at the sunrise is a new future. That's your future. It's a new day. You don't know what's going to come. So I kind of see it in that perspective, you know, to make me understand from a frail mortal, you know, as to what you just said. Yes, I can live right now in the now, but within a couple of hours, it's my past, but then in a couple more hours, it's my future.
But hours either way, there is no, those hours aren't there.
Right.
Your now includes them.
Right.
When we talk about the four phases of creation, becomes step two, step two becomes step three becomes step four. But in Hashem's perspective, there is no step one to step two. They're both there at the same moment. They're part of him. There is nothing but Hashem. If you have an ego that separated your consciousness from Hashem's, you would be Hashem. You are Hashem. The illusion is that you have a consciousness that separates you. And that's why it's called Cuckoo Kabbalah. Because it is so hard to make that transition, and it's impossible, truly, to make the transition from seeing a world of separation to seeing the unity of all of the steps. Steps 1, 2, 3, 4, but as I am now seeing my future, my past, and my present all unified.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously words are inadequate to express what's being taught, what's being thought. And these are not my thoughts. These are thoughts I've heard from teachers. Just that I understood what I heard. And that's why you always hear me say, that's clear as mud now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a wonderful teaching at Passover time by Rabbi Sutton that I think illustrates what we're talking about. And that's that the idea of, you know, we think that the Exodus from Egypt, we kind of use it as a pattern for the future redemption. But according to that teaching that that I read from Rabbi Sutton, he said it wasn't, that Hashem had used the future redemption. He had drawn from that light for the Exodus from Egypt. And to me, that's the future and the past together.
Well said. And it is absolutely coming, well said.
You know, and it was also coming from Keter with loving kindness, even though the people were at the 49th level. So it was, that's why it was a free gift to us. But if Hashem pulled from that future redemption for the Exodus for Egypt, and we had the crossing of the Yom Suf, then that kind of gives me the picture of the future of being able to fly, that Hashem will do even greater. I mean, are we going to go across the Atlantic? Is he going to raise us up to fly? To me, that was the bird from one of the lessons with these birds always trying to build a nest in my front porch and get in my house. And, you know, so to me, that was a good example of future and past, and yet just the opposite of what we think. We think it's going to be based on the Exodus from Egypt, when the Exodus of Egypt was really based on, taken from the energy of the future redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't happen until we get past the consciousness. We not only have to have the consciousness of Mashiach, we have to bring Mashiach. And you taught us that. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the, you know, the struggles that we have, and the little foxes that spoil the grapevine, and you know, well, I could just go on and on, but I got to be quiet or I'll cry. Because it was really
We're out of time, but I want to close with one from our prayers. It's a verse from the Torah. I hope you know this verse. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imlo, Le'olam Va'ed.
Yes. Beautiful.
Adonai Melech three times in three different tenses. Hashem was king. Hashem will be king. And he is the world. He is everything. We say that verse twice a day, twice, one right after the other, in the morning prayers.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three? The three are representing the three columns. The right, the left, and the central. But why do we need to say them twice? For the same reason that the Star of David is two triangles. It's Tiferet, when you first say it, for the first time you say it, and Netzachot and Yesod for the second time. And you need to bring the two triangles together to create the Star of David, which, remember, the word star is magen, shield of David, representing a protection. We say those two verses to build our protection shield. All you just talked about is built into those two verses, to that one verse. Go ahead. I think it was Hannah, you wanted to say something?
No, I just love singing it. I just think, I mean, we actually sung it at the services, you know, before.
Yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse. Mm-hmm. And before I sing it, I sing four times, Adonai Hu HaElohim.
Well, you know that's my verse. I have it all over. I've given it as bookmarks and have it everywhere. I have something to look at above my computer where I light my candles. You know, I move the little bookmark everywhere I go. So.
I know. I'm out of time, so, but we will have another regular Zohar class in the 7 o'clock class. And tomorrow morning there will be a Psalm, I believe it's 87.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Thank you.